Good morning, folks. My switched on, okay?
Yeah.
That's me coming through now. Brilliant. Well, folks, it's great to be with you. As you know, my name's Stephen. I've been working with AsianLink now for, I think it's about 8 or 9 years, so quite a wee stretch. But it's my first time having the pleasure of being with you here in the Bridge. You normally have to endure my colleague Gordon, but he's sent me to you this morning instead. We're so grateful for and encouraged by folks like yourselves. I know there's many here who have been out on one of our teams before, and that is super, and that is great. And even just the ongoing support from folks like yourselves means a great deal to us. One fella before the service was telling me in your little prayer diary for the month, you pray for AsianLink on the 10th of every month, and that is such an encouragement for us. So thank you to you for your continued interest in our work, your continued prayerful support, it's just great to have folks like yourselves as part of what God is doing in Asia. We're called AsianLink because we want to be a link between folk in the West, folk like yourselves, and what God's doing in Asia. And so thank you so much for your continued support. We're going to begin this morning by just for a few moments turning to God's word. We're going to be reading from Mark chapter 6, those verses that are up on the screen there, before we then turn our attentions to Asia. So we're going to be reading from Mark chapter 6, verses 7 to 13, and then we're going to skip ahead a little bit and read verses 30 to 34. And as you turn in your Bibles there, just to set a little bit of the scene of what's been going on in Mark chapter 6 at the time that we're cutting into it. Jesus has been traveling the land. He has been accompanied by his disciples. He has been performing miracles. He has been proclaiming good news. He's been calling people to repentance. And the verses we are about to read, turns to his disciples and he sends them out in pairs, two by two, on what may be the world's first short-term mission trip. And as he does that, he gives them a set of instructions. And the couple of points that I just want to pull out of those instructions, and then also what we see happen whenever the disciples return in verses 30-34, about things that disciples should bear in mind when we go. We're on a missional theme this morning. We're thinking about what God's doing around the world. And whenever we come to scripture and we think about what the Bible has to say about mission and evangelism, I am sure one of the first verses that would probably come to mind is the Great Commission to go and make disciples of every nation. And so from these verses, I want to pick out a few things for us to bear in mind as we do that going, as disciples, as followers, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are some things that we should have in our minds, encouragements, challenges, that we should have in our minds as we commit ourselves to going for the Lord? So let's read these verses together. Mark chapter 6, 7, 13, and then we're going to skip ahead a few and read verses 30 to 34 afterwards. So we go from verse 7. And he, that is Jesus, called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except the staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. And then moving ahead, reading from verse 30, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come out by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And we'll end our reading there. There's three brief little points I just want to touch on from those verses on this idea of disciples going. And the first is this: disciples, when they go, disciples go in faith. Jesus sends out his disciples on this little trip with various instructions. And the first kind of set of instructions that we read in those verses all concerned some of the practicalities of what the disciples need to bear in mind as they go. In particular, it's a bit of a packing list, or rather it's closer to a what not to pack list, because as we read those first couple of verses, the disciples actually seem to be going out with very, very little, at least in material terms. Jesus sends them out and he gives them a very strict bring this, don't bring this list. So he tells them, verse 8, this is, he charged them to take nothing for their journey except the staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. These disciples are heading out with what would seem to be very, very little. On their journey, they can take a staff. Great. There's going to be a lot of walking. That's going to help them maneuver over some hills and slopes that they're going to come across. But they're to bring no bread, so no food for the journey to keep them going. No bag, so their ability to bring items with them is going to be severely limited. No money in their belts, so no cash on them to be able to pay or for any need that might arise on the journey. So they're going without any money. Verse 9, they can wear sandals. There's a lot of walking. They're going to need their sandals, but not put on two tunics. So not even a change of clothes for this great journey that they are being sent on. It seems to me that they are heading out with very, very little. And I'm part of that generation where if I accidentally leave my mobile phone at home in the morning, whenever I head out to work, I feel a little bit lost all day. I can't imagine heading out on the kind of journey that the disciples are with as little as they are traveling with. And yet they are still to go. They are still sent by the Lord Jesus, even when it seems like they have very little that they are bringing with them. The disciples are to go in faith. They're to go in faith, reliant on the Lord's provision, because the Lord's work never lacks the Lord's supplies. They are to go reliant that the Lord will make a way for them to achieve what they have been sent to do. And while the disciples may have felt that they have very little to make this journey a success, in reality, they have everything they need. Because not only will they go reliant on the Lord's provision, they go with a couple of even more significant, important things for the journey. First, they're not going alone. They have somebody else with them. They're going in pairs. And so they have that ability to rely on and lean on and work together with somebody else, as so to do we. As part of the church, we have each other to work together, to come together, to achieve the work of mission and evangelism that the Lord might have given you. But more significantly, the very first verse that I read, verse 7, they go with the Lord's power, because Jesus gave them authority over the unclean spirits before they go on this journey. So not only are they going in faith, reliant on the Lord's provision, they're going in faith, reliant on the Lord's power to achieve, to do the work that the Lord has given them. And I don't know about you, but I wonder sometimes if we can feel like when it comes to serving the Lord in the ways in which he has given to us, the ways in which he is asking us to do this work of mission and evangelism, I wonder if we can feel like we have very, very little to offer, that we have very little to bring to that work of making Jesus known. Perhaps we may feel like we don't have the confidence to speak for the Lord, to share our faith, to explain the gospel to others. We may feel like we don't have the eloquence to be able to articulate, or the knowledge that we might need if we get into a tricky conversation. We may feel like at times that we don't have enough to bring on this journey as we go for the Lord. But the encouragement and the challenge for each and every disciple of the Lord is that when we go, we can go in faith, reliant on the Lord's provision and power to achieve, to do what he asks of us. So that's my first point. When disciples go, they go in faith. The second little point I want to reflect on is kind of the next set of, is related to the next set of instructions that Jesus gives his disciples as he sends them. And the next set of instructions that Jesus gives his disciples all concern hospitality. They concern what would have been the expected customary hospitality of the day. He says to them in verse 10, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. There seems to be an expectation that whenever they arrive in different towns or villages, that people will welcome them into their homes and offer them hospitality. And indeed, in these days, the custom of the day would have been when a stranger arrived in a town or a village, they would have been offered hospitality. That was the custom of the day. They would have been welcomed in, they would have been given a meal, they would have been given a bed for the night, and their feet would even have been washed clean of the dirt of the road. But what Jesus goes on to, the instruction that Jesus goes on to give his disciples concerns what they should do in the event that this hospitality is not offered to them. He says to them, if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. And this really is a recognition, a warning perhaps of sorts for the disciples, a preparation for them, that when disciples go, they also must go despite rejection. When disciples go, they must go despite the prospect, the reality that there may be rejection ahead. These disciples are being sent out. They would have expected hospitality that would have been customary in the day. But yet Jesus is warning them. He's telling them, here's what you need to do if that customary hospitality is not offered to you. And what he tells them to do is that they are to shake the dust off their feet as a testimony against them. Well, how is shaking dust off your feet a testimony against a town? Well, if you have dust on your feet to shake off, it's a sign that no one has welcomed you in, no one has given you a meal, no one has given you a bed for the night, and crucially, no one has washed the dust off your feet as would have been expected in the custom of the day. As these disciples are heading out, the last set of instructions that Jesus gives them is preparing them for the reality that some of the places they go, there will be those who do not want to receive them and who will not listen to them, even though they carry great news of the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. And so it is today. When disciples go as part of this work of mission and evangelism to make disciples of every nations, of course it is the case today that for many, perhaps even most of the time, the reality is that those believers are faced with rejection. Across our world, across Asia, there are many places where persecution against believers is fierce. And we're going to be thinking about Pakistan in a few moments, and persecution is going to be a big part of what I share with you. That is the case for so many in our world, particularly across Asia. But still, we have brothers and sisters who serve the Lord, who go even in the face of danger, persecution, rejection. They go even though they expect people to not want to receive them or listen to them. And so it is here. It's a sad thing, but it is the reality of the times we live in, that there are so many outside of the walls of this building who don't have the slightest bit of interest in the gospel that we treasure so dear. And they're ambivalent. They don't care, or maybe they're outright hostile. But still, when disciples go, when you and I go to make disciples, not only do we have to go in faith, we have to go despite the reality of rejection, that even though there will be those who don't want to listen to a word we have to say, who aren't interested in the slightest, still disciples are to go. And of course, Jesus himself, he knows what it means to be rejected even upon death on a cross. And if he is our master, we can expect little better treatment if we are his servants. So when disciples go, they are to go in faith. When disciples go, they're to go despite the reality of rejection as well. But thirdly and finally, on a more encouraging note, from those last few verses that I read, we see that when disciples go, the kingdom grows. And that's why we go. We go to grow the kingdom. We go to share Christ and to see people come to faith. And verse 30 begins by telling us what happens when the apostles return to Jesus. And it's an amazing series of events that occur whenever the disciples return. They come back to Jesus and they tell him everything that they have done and taught. And the verse 31, Jesus says to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place," my version reads, or your Bibles might just say a quiet place. "Come away to by yourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." Why? Why is it that they need to go somewhere else to have a rest? Why can't they just take a breather there and then? Because it says in verse 31, "For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." There are so many people bustling around Jesus and his disciples. So many people around them, a crowd is gathering. People who perhaps have recognized the disciples from their journey, have heard this news as it is filtered throughout the country, as Jesus has traveled, as his disciples have traveled. So many have heard something of this Jesus that they are drawn towards Jesus and his disciples. So many, in fact, that the disciples can't even get leisure even to eat. They can't get a moment's peace to have a bite to eat and recover from their journey. And so what do they do? Verse 32, they go away in a boat to a quiet place by themselves. So they're near a body of water, they get into the boat, and they're setting sail to get to a bit of a quieter place so they can have a rest and a bite to eat. And what happens is this extraordinary detail in verse 33. "Now many saw them going and recognized them." They know who these people are. And what's their response? "They ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them." These people are so intrigued, so interested in this amazing news that is filtering throughout the country, that the disciples have spread on their short-term mission trip, that people are running out of their towns and their villages to get to this quiet place on the other side of a body of water, and they get there so quickly that they get there before the boat lands. And the final verse that I read, whenever Jesus comes ashore, he sees a great crowd. And of course, if you were reading along in your Bible, you'll see that this is the beginning of Mark's account of the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 people gathered in this quiet place who have run there ahead of Jesus. And Jesus comes ashore and he has great compassion on them because they're like sheep without a shepherd. And he begins to teach them many things. And this is the great encouragement for us. This is the goal of every disciple as we go to make disciples, as we go and faith, as we go despite rejection, that we bring people to the feet of Jesus, that they might meet him for themselves, that they might hear from him for themselves, that he might have compassion on them, and that their lives might be transformed as they hear and understand the gospel. In this story, 5,000 people have responded in some way to the work that Jesus and the disciples have been doing. And of course, as I said before, not everybody is going to want to hear what we have to say. Not everybody is interested in the gospel that we have to share. But here is the crucial encouragement. There will be those who are. There will be those in whose lives the Lord will do something wonderful. There are those who are spiritually dead that the Lord will make alive. And that is the encouragement for you and I this morning, that as we go in faith, perhaps we have very, very little to offer. As we go despite rejection and perhaps even fearful of the response that people might give to us, the encouragement is that we will see the kingdom grow. Might not be 5,000 people by the side of a body of water, but there will be those who give their lives to the Lord as they hear and see and taste of how great and good the Lord is. And so my encouragement to you this morning is, whatever your own work of mission and evangelism looks like, either individually or as a church family, my prayer and encouragement for you this morning is to keep going in faith, to keep going even though there's rejection ahead, and to keep going because the kingdom will grow, that there will be those who come and join the great family of God with you. So, praise the Lord for his saving power. And now I just want to pray before we turn our attentions to how the Lord is working and saving across the continent of Asia. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time we can have this morning to gather together, to sing praises to you, to listen to your word, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are mighty to save. We thank you, Lord, that you choose to use ordinary people like us in your work of bringing people to yourself, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would challenge us and you burden us and you this morning to be committed to this work of mission and evangelism, whatever that work looks like in our own lives, Lord. We pray that you would help us to be a people that go in faith, that go despite rejection, and Lord, that as we do so, you would bless and use our efforts for your glory, and that we would see the kingdom grow in our time. Lord, we thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful gospel, Lord, and what it means to us, Lord, the salvation it gives us, the new life it offers us. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to share that good news with people in our own lives. Lord Mai, as we turn our attentions to what you're doing across Asia, Lord, pray you would give us a vision and excitement for what you're doing, Lord, and give us that sense of your goodness and your greatness, and help us understand how we might be a part of even that as well. So Lord, be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.